Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the promise, the call, and the destiny that God has prepared for us. And this 15-minute empowerment and this segment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, encouraged in the process of that, encouraged on how you believe God, how you stand on the word, even how God will shape and make you, and all the things that he would use in your everyday life to push you to your destiny, to push you to believe him and trust him, to walk in obedient faith and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we do, we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, and depth to depth. This place that God has called us to is an amazing place of trust and obedience and faith. And it's a place where we not only become a blessing to our household and our family, but to every person, every nation that we come in contact with, because we show and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ, the power of him. Before we ever open up our mouth, our lifestyle speaks volumes. And when we do testify to the glory of God about our Lord and our Savior, someone's life is encouraged. Someone is drawn to know Jesus Christ. Somebody's life is going to be changed because you gave them the ability to see beyond their situation and see that God is faithful. So everything in your life, God is going to use for his glory. Nothing will be wasted. It's all going to work for the good. It's all going to bring him glory, and he's going to be glorified through you and bless you. We're going back again and looking at the faith series, and we're looking still at Abraham. There's so much in Abraham that we can look at and gain and glean from, so much about his life and studying his life and what God is saying. And when you look at faith and you begin to see faith, there's always a command and to draw closer, to draw nigh to God, to understand more, to do more, and to ask God to stretch your faith realm. So when we look at Abraham and we look at the Abraham covenant, and we look at what God has done, we're basically seeing the foundation upon which everything that later on, the covenant that we know now, this divine covenant that God has given through Jesus Christ and his blood, we see that everything is based on that. God's people, who we are, how we are to receive, it's based on what God started with Abraham, and then it moves. And this is an everlasting covenant, meaning that this is going to go throughout time. God is not going to change his mind. When he says, I'm going to be your God and I'm going to be with you, he basically, these are irrevocable words. These words are his words, and he hasn't changed his mind, will not change his mind. God's basically saying, this is my pledge to you. This is my pledge that's going to go on through the relationship of Abraham's people all the way through time. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be with you. And what you have to understand, God basically takes two people who were old, who could not have children, and he commands something impossible to happen. He basically says that I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to bless you. And this gracious promise that God gave, as I said before, was unconditional. God was saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to make your descendants. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. And I'm going to finalize my promise with the agreement between you and I. And I'm going to let you understand that I'm a superior God, even though you're an inferior servant. I'm big enough and great enough and powerful enough to back up everything that I said. And God swears by himself. He swears by himself. When you look at Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18, God swears by himself that if he doesn't do what he said, that he will come down from his place of authority and let Abraham rule. That's the promise we have. That's the covenant we have. And that's what kind of God we have. He's saying, everything that I told you in my word, if I don't do it, then I'll come down. But because we know he's a promise keeper, he's faithful. Everything that he's spoken concerning your life, I don't care how long you've been waiting. You might be in a wait process like Abraham. You might be in a wait process like Joseph. But the wait process is maturing you. It's getting you ready. It's stretching you. It's working out you out of you and working the will of God in you. It's causing you to trust God more, believe him, walk by faith, know who he is, know his word, know his promise, stand on it, decree it, declare it, and watch all things become possible because you believe. It's basically you going in and looking at a Genesis moment, looking at where nothing looks like it's coming together, standing on the word of God, believing that God is faithful and that he's going to do what he says, and then decree and declare and speak until something happens, until some things start shifting, until the word of God and your faith and the power of God begins to hover and brood over the situations of your life, and they are changed. They become to look and develop like what God says. But it's going to happen as you stand in faith, as you believe, as you obey, and as you decree by faith the word of God, knowing that it will manifest and it will cause the creative power of God to make those things be in your life, everything that God says. We basically understand that God gave them an unconditional promise. He says, I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to do it. But God also makes demands. He also says, I want you to do some things. He also says, I want you to be this. I want you to do this. And as you see and look at the life of Abraham and Sarah, you see that they obeyed God. And because they did, you see the covenant of God established. And what I mean, first thing God says, with everything God tells you, with every promise and command of God, there must be a reaction of yours. And your reaction must align with what God is saying. It must always align with his word and his will. And it must be in the spirit. It must be with your soul. And it must be with your physical body agreeing with God and moving in the direction of what his will is. You just can't say it with your mouth and do nothing, because you have now to have to take that faith and begin to use that faith in an active motive of working and moving towards the direction that God is telling you. God tells Abraham in Genesis 12, he tells him, says that he's going to make Abraham into a great nation, and he's going to bless all through him. And the command was, leave your country and be a blessing. And his reaction is, Abraham leaves his country and he goes into Canaan. Then God says in Genesis 13, God says to him, Abraham, I'm going to multiply your descendants, and I'm going to give you Canaan, and I'm going to favor you, and this is going to be yours forever. And still the command is to do what God says, and Abraham then reacts and responds to what God says by worshiping God and building an altar to commemorate what God has said, and to make it a more memorial so that not only he will see it, but his generations will see it and understand God spoke here and I responded by faith and I acted by faith and I did something by faith. I worship God, and my worship says I believe and I trust you. Then God does something else. In Genesis 15, he makes a formal covenant by passing through the sacrifices that have been there, the animal sacrifices, and God promises to multiply Abraham's descendants and to give them the land. Abraham, the command that God gave Abraham was, do not be afraid. Even though I'm telling you something that's hard and difficult and great and mighty and almost impossible with you, I'm telling you, don't be afraid of what I'm telling you. Don't be afraid of what I'm saying to you. Don't be afraid to embrace this, to run after this, to chase this. Don't be afraid to stand knowing that this is going to happen. Don't be afraid. Don't let your mind, don't let doubt, don't let fear, don't let people, don't let situations, don't even let time make you afraid of what I'm telling you to embrace. Because if I'm the God that you know I am, and I've done all these things in your life, then you know that I can't fail you now when I give you this promise. Abraham's reaction is, he believes God. Anytime God says something to you about what he's going to do in your life and where he's going to take you and how he's going to change this and how he's going to bless or restore or heal or deliver or set free, how he's going to move in that family with that child, with that in that marriage, that business, that ministry, over your body, that community, whatever it is that God is telling you he's going to do in your life, in your situation, your reaction must always align with the word of God, align with what God is saying, and it must be by faith, and it must be by obedient faith, saying, God, I trust you to do it. And you see, Abraham's reaction was always in response to what God was saying, and it always was in unity, in unison with what God was saying. It was not fighting and warring against it. It was in unison. Even though he made mistakes, he still stayed in line with the will of God, because his faith says, I trust God. I believe him. And even if I make mistakes, you're still merciful. You're still God. But his pursuit of doing what God said was always at the forefront. In Genesis 17, God promises to establish an everlasting covenant with Abraham's descendants, and the promise he gives to give them the land as an everlasting possession. So God is saying, I'm giving you an everlasting covenant with your descendants, but I'm also giving you a possession that is everlasting. And the command to him is to walk before God and be blameless, to keep the covenant and to circumcise all the males as a sign of the covenant. What was Abraham's reaction? Abraham circumcised all the males in his household. He was always saying, I'm going to do what God say. I'm going to do it God's way. I might make some mistakes, as we know he did, but that was his process. Because when God speaks a word, you go through a process. Abraham went through a process of being changed, being formed, being able to handle the promise of God. It was more than just having a child. He was now being entrusted with the covenant of God to pass it on, to teach it, to make sure every generation knew it, understood it, and worshiped God and him only. God was making sure that they were going to be the people, the nation that he had called them to be, and he was beginning with Abraham. From Abraham, it was going to move, but he was being entrusted with more than just a child, but with a covenant, a nation that would honor God, that would serve God. Now, we see that in Genesis 22, God promises to make Abraham's descendants numerous and to bless all of the nations through them. And the thing that God says after he says this in Genesis 22, he then says the command of God is to sacrifice your son Isaac. But God was doing this to see if he would let go of what was precious to him and give that up, because this was a form of Christ, God's only begotten son whom he loved. Abraham had this one child whom he loved so dearly. And he was, what God was saying, are you willing to give him up because I said so, and to sacrifice him because I said so? Now, everything that God was commanding him went against everything that Abraham knew about God and his word. God didn't want a human sacrifice. He did not want that, and he didn't want him killing. So everything that God was saying was basically going against everything he knew about God. But he knew that God had given him a promise about his son, and he knew that his son had to be the link to the nations, and he knew that his son had to be the promise that God gave, that he couldn't take it away because God can't lie. So he was confident enough that he could say, me and the lad are coming back, because if I kill him, God's going to raise him up. Whatever happens, we coming back, because I have a promise with God, and I know so much about him that he cannot fail me. That's the way you've got to be with your walk of faith, with what God is telling you. I know so much about my God and his word that he will not fail me, and I can stand on this knowing that it's going to come to pass. Abraham receives, God gives him a ram in the bush. Abraham was willing to do everything that he says. He was obeying God. That was his reaction. I'm obey what God's saying. That was his reaction. But God was not going to allow him to do that. It was a test to see if he would obey. The Bible lets us know that God tries the heart of his people to see if they will obey and trust him. He does this because he wants us to obediently. It's easy to say we trust God when everything's fine. But when our back is against the wall, when we're up against impossible odds, can you trust God to do what he says and stand on it in faith, knowing that you are not going to fail, you're not going to go down, but God is going to bring you through and do exactly what he said, because he's faithful and you trust him enough to stand and watch him be God. God then, after he does this, Genesis 26, God promised to increase Isaac, because Isaac's here now. God promised to increase Isaac's descendants, and he gives him the command, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. He tells the same thing, don't be afraid, I'm with you. You're going to face impossible odds. It's going to look like it's not going to work in your favor, but I'm with you. And Isaac builds an altar just like his father and calls on God. He builds an altar and calls on the name of the Lord. In Genesis 35, we see that God promised to multiply Jacob, make Jacob's descendants, and to give them the land. Jacob's response is he sets up stones of pillars and pours oil on it because he believes God. Whatever God is telling you, whatever he's spoken to you, your reaction must always align with the word of God by faith. It must align. Your reaction must be a reaction that says, God, I trust you, and you're going to do what you said, and I'm going to see the blessings of you and the benefits of you and your hand moving in my life. I pray that you've been encouraged in this 15-minute empowerment and that you see yourself moving in obedient faith to every command that God has given you and every promise, knowing that he's faithful. We'll be back tomorrow with another empowerment. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and know that you're in a victorious walk of faith.